You are Locked On Rockets, your daily podcast on the Houston Rockets, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
That was not fun. Welcome in to the only daily podcast covering the NBA's best basketball team, at least by regular season record. I'm your host, Ben Dubose, Rockets correspondent with Sports Talk 790, the team's official flagship. The Rockets took it on the chin, 121-105, Saturday night in Minneapolis in Game 3. That drops it their lead to 2-1 in the best-of-seven series. Game 4, and a very important Game 4, is Monday night, also at the Target Center in Minneapolis. Lots of things went wrong for the Rockets in this one. Certainly defensively, we've said throughout the series and throughout the season that the reason the Rockets have such an advantage over Minnesota, in addition to talent, because Minnesota is a very talented team in their own right, would be the math edge, the Rockets taking so many threes, Minnesota not taking much of them. Well, Minnesota, after going 5 of 18 in Game 2 from behind the arc, went 15 of 27 in Game 3, actually matching the Rockets in terms of made threes and much more efficient. Rockets 15 of 41, Timberwolves 15 of 27. So the math advantage went away, and ultimately the Timberwolves, led by Jimmy Butler, 28 points, Jeff Teague, 23, Andrew Wiggins, 20, including ridiculous 4 of 6 from downtown, Karl-Anthony Towns, much improved, 18 points, 16 rebounds. As we said, young players like that tend to play better at home, and the Wolves answered and give them credit. The Rockets, it wasn't an awful game. They did answer. James Harden led the way, 29 points, 9 of 21 shooting. He was much better than he was in Game 2 when he had just 12 points and 2 of 18 shooting. Chris Paul, 17 points, 6 assists, 7 of 11 shooting. But ultimately, the shooter's not good enough. PJ Tucker had a down game on both ends of the floor, it felt like, offensively. 4 points, 1 of 6 shooting, 0 of 4 from 3. Clint Capella, 7 points, 11 boards, but he got out-rebounded by Karl-Anthony Towns. Certainly got outplayed in terms of Karl-Anthony Towns' offensive production relative to the two in Houston. And then Clint from the free throw line was a nightmare, 1 of 6. As Dave Hardest, Dave Clutch fans pointed out on Twitter, he's actually been just above 40% since March 1st. It's been under the radar because the sample size has been low. The upside, I don't think Clint is necessarily choking, so to speak, because he struggled down the stretch of the year, a lot of those being games that meant ultimately nothing. So I don't think it's so much the pressure that's getting Clint. I think it's more mechanical, but ultimately it's not good. And as the Rockets play tougher opponents, I think they're still big favorites in this series. Haka Capella could come back if Clint does not get better, and soon. Hopefully John Lucas, who has worked very close with him throughout the year, has the cure, especially between Saturday and Monday, because I don't think the Rockets winning in that building is going to be easy. There's lots of things that went wrong. Eric Gordon, 5 of 16 overall. It's not been a good series from him. Mentioned going in, he was 26%. He's not much better than that after Game 3. There's lots of things you can point to, but before we get into what went wrong, and I would say across the board, defensive intensity was an issue tonight. I'm actually going to start with what I think going by Twitter should be the most important priority, which is calm down. This was a bad game. I'm frustrated. It was a poor showing defensively. Offensively, even though the stat lines for Harden and Paul were okay, the intensity was not always there. There were a few too many careless turnovers, especially in Harden's case. At the same time, there are some extenuating circumstances that absolutely need to be taken into account. First things first, Minnesota is a really good basketball team when healthy. With Jimmy Butler over the first 45 to 50 games of the regular season, there's a reason why they were consistently in the top three or top four. They only fell off into the 7-8 seed range when Butler went out for almost 2 months with the torn meniscus. They're a very talented basketball team. Sometimes I think in addition to the injuries, they're also held back by the coaching of Tom Thibodeau, the philosophy, not enough threes. But a night that they make their threes, which they did tonight, combine that with the athleticism, the playmaking potential, they are very good. And then playing in a gym where it's the first home playoff game in over 10 years, they can be very tough to beat. This is why I wanted San Antonio and not Minnesota. The Rockets in the fourth quarter of this game, they were down 19. It felt like the Rockets said, okay, this is when we flip the switch. Ryan Anderson came back tonight, one of the few bright spots. Ryan made 4 of his 6 shots from 3, had 12 points in his 18 minutes. Rockets got it down to 9 early in the fourth quarter. And before you could blink, in barely over a minute, the Timberwolves pushed it back from 9 to 18. And a lot of it was just because they made plays one-on-one in isolation situations. Jeff Teague, Jimmy Butler, Karl-Anthony Towns. These are extremely, extremely talented players. Give them credit. When healthy, when they are right, they are a top three, certainly top four team in the Western Conference. There is a lot more there than a typical eight seed. So to say, well, the Rockets lost to an eight seed, yes, on paper it's accurate. In reality, you are leaving out a lot of context. They did some things right, and if they make threes, yes, the Rockets' defense was not good tonight, but I don't care. Shooting 60%, that's not easy against air. You have to tip your hat and give them some credit. They are a very talented basketball team. And also, the eight seed, they're 47-35. Keep in mind the small margins. We're talking about literally 3-4 games separating the 8 seed from the 3 or the 4 in this case in the Western Conference this year. So an injury like what happened to Jimmy Butler, yes, it makes Minnesota artificially soft. I said that going into the series. They deserve some credit. They played extremely well. Tip your cap. The Rockets have their own things. They won 65 games. Not saying it's excusable to lose by 16 points, but it's not as simple as, well, there's one cause. There's one reason for taking it on the chin the way they did. There are lots of things at play, and part of it, Minnesota is a good basketball team, and they played well tonight. They had a lot of shots in their gym, a very emotionally charged gym. Give them some credit. Now, aside from Minnesota, they certainly deserve a lot of credit. The Rockets, they also get their blame. They were not good tonight, especially defensively and offensively. Outside of James Harden, there wasn't really all that much. And even James Harden, 4 turnovers, it felt like they were very untimely, to say the least. And supporting cast, as I mentioned, especially Eric Gordon, just not enough. Ryan Anderson made a successful return, but other than that, needed more across the board. This is not letting them off the hook. The flip side that you do need to consider, bleep happens. This is not a sport where it's easy to run through the playoffs. Yes, the Warriors have done that. I'm aware they went 12-0 through the Western Conference playoffs a year ago. They are also historically ungodly talented. They are the most talented team when healthy that the sport has ever seen. By and large, it is not that easy. To quote Matt Moore, HP Basketball on Twitter, in the last 10 years, the 08 Celtics, the 09 Lakers, the 2010 Lakers, the 2011 Mavs, the 2012 Heat, the 2014 Spurs, all lost at least one first-round game. The 2014 Spurs, which ended up being probably one of the most dominant in terms of perception championship teams in the modern era, look at what they did in the finals to LeBron's Heat. They actually got taken to Game 7 in the first round by the 8th-seeded Dallas Mavericks. This sport is hard. No, I am not anticipating that happening to the Rockets in this round, but the idea that something is fundamentally flawed because they lose one first-round game, first off, as I said leading off, I don't think Minnesota is a typical 8 seed. They are much more talented than, say, the Spurs, who are the 7th seed, whose offense revolves around, what, LaMarcus Aldridge and Patty Mills? I mean, it's just night and day. The challenge the Rockets have, it's unfortunately a bad draw. The Rockets just have to make the most of it. Good news to the Rockets, ultimately, if they do, if they win it in 5 rather than 4, and they close it out Wednesday in Houston instead of Monday in Minnesota, in the grand scheme, I don't think it's going to mean much of anything, especially with the teams likely to play them, Oklahoma City and Utah, appearing set on a fairly long series on the other side of Houston's bracket. So, ultimately, I don't think if it's closed out in 5 instead of 4, it's any sort of big physical taxing sentiment that goes with that. Now, if it goes deeper in the series, potentially it could be, but one step at a time. We're going to treat this as a one-off scenario. And in terms of a one-off scenario, yes, the threes were part of it. I agree that it's not all the threes, because ultimately, even before Minnesota hit them with that barrage in the fourth quarter, the game was still not in favor of the Rockets. I tend to think it's a combination of the Rockets' lethargic defense, Minnesota playing out of their minds at home extremely well, very talented. And ultimately, the Warriors going 12-0 through the playoffs last year, that's not the norm. This does not typically happen. And so if the Rockets win 4-1 in this series, it's not evidence that something is fundamentally wrong. Minnesota is a good team. This is not unfathomable. This is not some sort of catastrophic indicator. Now, ultimately, it could be if it repeats itself. But for right now, we have one game's worth of evidence. And the other thing that I want to point out, I'm seeing a lot saying, well, the Rockets, they haven't played a complete game in a while. Well, I think game 2, because the Rockets' bad stretch came in the first 10 minutes of that game, I think there are a lot of people making it into more than it actually was. Very rarely do you see a team literally play all 48 minutes. Many times what will happen, you'll see a team get up 20, 25 points, and then they'll kind of have a lull in the middle of a game, but ultimately you don't really notice as much because they're up 15, 20, 25 points the entire time, and so even if they're playing flat or even losing a little bit of ground, it's not that big of a deal because the overall margin is still healthy. As it happened in Game 2, the Rockets, their bad stretch was the first 10 minutes. They were outscored 22-13. And then you know what happened? The Rockets outscored the Timberwolves by nearly 40 over the next 35 minutes, ended up outscoring them officially by 29 the last 38 minutes of the game, turned a 9-point deficit into a 20-point win, and it would have been a lot more than 20 if not for calling off the dogs and putting in Shanu Anuaku, Joe Chi, all those guys in. So I reject the notion that the Rockets have not been themselves for weeks. No, I think they were that in Game 2. Now, certainly, I think you could say that, well, the offense wasn't all the way there. It was a little more defensively inclined in terms of their energy. Although the offense, actually, was just a really bad stretch of that first 10 minutes. The final 38, I thought the offense really got humming pretty well also, pretty much everyone outside of James Harden. But as far as the team as a whole, ultimately, that stuff a lot of times evens out. In Game 2, I thought they were tremendous. And they had a bad 10 minutes, but ultimately, most games, even dominant games, once you win by 20-plus, you can probably find a 10-minute stretch in there where things don't go your way. It just so happened for the Rockets in Game 2, the 10 minutes where things didn't go their way with the first 10 minutes, so people are making it into more than it was. In general, Game 2, the Rockets were dominant. They looked themselves. They looked really, really good. Game 3, they didn't, and it sucks, and they've got to adjust, and hopefully, first adjustment is stopping the dribble penetration, because I thought the defensive intensity was the most noticeable thing that lagged between Game 2 and Game 3. We'll see what happens Game 4 on Monday night. But I reject the idea that, well, the Rockets, since clinching the one seed, since that final week of March in Portland, they haven't been themselves. No, I thought they were really, really good in Game 2, literally one game ago. Now, yes, that's one game, just as Game 3 was one game. We'll see what happens in Game 4. But I reject the calls of despair that, well, we haven't seen the Rockets look elite or that there's something fundamentally wrong because an 8 seed won. No, Minnesota is much better than typical 8 seed. And even 8 seeds, they do win individual games in the first round. There's a reason why you play best of 7 series. Random stuff happens in this sport, in individual games. It's really hard. Tip your hat to them. And as far as the Rockets are concerned, we're just one game removed from when, in my opinion, they looked really, really good. So I'm not going to say everything is fine and hunky-dory. We'll see what happens Monday night in Game 4. But for now, in my opinion, some of the despair is overblown. We'll see what happens. But ultimately, based on one game, I am not going to hit the panic button. Now, ultimately, if they lose a Game 4 on Monday night, I'll probably feel a lot differently. But we can cross that bridge when we come to it. Now that's segment one of our 3 points recap. Wanted to lead a little longer than usual with some perspective because in general, as deflated as I was, I think a lot of the reaction is far over the top. Random games happen, even for championship teams. As I mentioned, you can point to over half of the championship teams over the past decade that have lost at least one game in the first round, including the 2014 Spurs that got taken to Game 7. This stuff happens. It is not unprecedented. So the first thing I'll tell you in analyzing this game is take it for what it is. It's one game. If these trends repeat themselves, then yeah, there might be a problem. But let's cross that bridge when we come to it, and we'll see what happens in Game 4. Because in my opinion, you can poke holes in the offense for the Rockets. I thought they were a little too careless. The three-pointers fell at a slightly higher clip tonight. But it certainly was not peak Rockets offense, but the bigger factor far and away was defensive intensity. And the reason why I tend to give the Rockets a bit of the benefit of the doubt is because Game 2, they were incredibly strong on that end of the court. Now, yes, I do think part of it, they're missing Luke Bamute. Certainly, I thought, especially on the road, he would have been a big factor tonight. But the intensity we saw in Game 2, it was not there tonight. And it's one of those games, the Rockets up 2-0. They did not have to have this game. Minnesota down 2-0. Their only chance of making this a competitive series was to take this game, so it's understandable why Minnesota plays with a greater sense of urgency. Well, Game 4 is going to be completely different, because if it gets tied 2-2, all of a sudden, it's anybody's series, and the pressure shifts squarely back to the Rockets, and at that point, if it's 2-2, even if you ultimately win the series, best-case scenario, in six games, ultimately you're expending a lot more energy than you would have expected going into the series. So we'll see how the Rockets respond Monday night. Personally, I think they'll have a much more committed effort on the defensive end of the floor, and that's the key, because tonight, the Timberwolves, there was just no stopping the dribble penetration. They got into the paint, and they got shots inside, and also they made 15 to 27 threes. Some of it, good luck. Other part of it, well, they got far too many open looks at three in rhythm because they collapsed the defense with that dribble penetration. As we said, it's not really a banner night for anyone, but I thought even your defensive stalwarts, Ariza, but especially P.J. Tucker, I don't think they played particularly well. Also, the one thing to keep in mind, the Rockets covered up so many things in the first two games because Clint Capella was so dominant inside. Well, we mentioned that Clint Capella playing well at home, Karl Anthony Towns playing especially poor. Well, both of those guys are very young, and then when you played on the road, it flipped. Karl Anthony Towns playing at home, he seemed to get the energy. He had the extra pep in his step, 18 and 16, whereas Clint Capella just 7 and 11. Mentioned the free throws, made just 1 of 6, and keep the hack of Capella in the back of your mind based on how poorly he shot, not just in Game 3, but really ever since March 1st when he's been right at about 40%. So between the perimeter defenders struggling, no Luke Bamute, and then the interior matchup between Capella and Karl Anthony Towns, two young bigs seeming to swing with whoever is at home, ultimately Minnesota got too many easy looks, and that's, if you're the Rockets, where you have to go to fix this. Ultimately, I'm not going to say they were perfect offensively. I think Eric Gordon in particular, 5 of 16, he needs to be better. Far too many easy looks that he missed. Ryan Anderson, you did get some contributions. Mentioned 12 points, 4 of 6 from 3. Overall, 15 of 41 from behind the arc. Not great, but you can live with that. Really, the Rockets lost this game because of the defensive end of the floor. Things just did not develop for the Rockets there. And even Chris Paul fouled out 30 minutes, 6 fouls, in part. There was some shaky officiating in this game, I thought. Minnesota playing at home, desperate, certainly got the benefit of the doubt. In addition to that, I thought even Chris, he didn't move his feet that well. He reached a little too often, and while you might can quibble with one or two of the 6 fouls, ultimately the fact that he was even in a position to get close to fouling out, I think it reflects the same thing, which is that defensively there was just a certain sense of lethargy that was not there in Game 1, Game 2. It sucks. Is it necessarily a fatal flaw? No, I don't think so, because the Rockets had a 2-0 lead. They're still in prime position to win this series in 5 games, take care of business in Game 4 on Monday night, and then you can close it out in Game 5 in Houston on Wednesday night, and all of a sudden all you've done is play one extra game, play 2 extra days relative to what you expected. So if the Rockets have this same level of defense on Monday, then I'll agree. It's time to worry. But having that level of defense, it's the biggest problem. It's discouraging, but yet it comes just one game after a fantastic, ridiculous performance from the Rockets, limited the Timberwolves to just 82 points, 35 in the middle two quarters when they really turned it up, just 5 of 18 from 3, not just 5 made threes, they only even got off 18. That's how swarming the Rockets were. So no, I don't think all of a sudden the Timberwolves have found something magical to unlock the Rockets' defense or that the Rockets don't care anymore. I think it's just a bad game. Combination of lack of urgency, randomness, the Timberwolves playing extremely well at home, and ultimately Game 4, that's the time for the Rockets to, I don't know if you can fully put it away, but take command of the series. Keep in mind the same thing happened last year. The Rockets lost Game 3 on the road. Now it was a little more competitive to Oklahoma City in the first round, but they lost Game 3. It was 2-1 after the first 3 games, and they won Game 4 on the road and closed it out in Game 5. Things are completely fine. Yes, I know the Rockets lost in the second round to San Antonio, but it had nothing to do with them losing in 5 games instead of 4 to Oklahoma City. It had a lot to do with San Antonio, as I've said ad nauseum on this podcast. They won 6 more games than the Rockets in the regular season that year, and they were a better team in the playoffs as well, especially after the injury to Nene. So the first round last year, the Rockets were in this same point, and they came back, and they won Game 4 at Oklahoma City, and they closed it out in Game 5. So we'll see what happens. It's one game at a time, but ultimately the data points, you have to look at more than one game. It's discouraging for the Rockets. I think it starts with defensive intensity. Luke Bamute certainly could have helped, but even without Luke, The effort needs to be better than what it was. Minnesota collapsed the defense too easily, got too many shots at the rim, got too many free throws, got too many open threes because of how they collapsed the defense. And overall, I don't know if there's so much an adjustment for the Rockets X and O's wise other than play harder. The focus simply was not there up and down the roster. And so when you go to game four on Monday night, I don't think it's so much about offense, although the Rockets could be better on that end. I think ultimately it's about defense, what the Rockets did not do on that end. And ultimately, aside from Minnesota, that's the variable that the Rockets can control that had the biggest correlation with their loss, the 121-105 defeat in Game 3 on Saturday night. Now, for the final segment of our 3-point recap, I want to turn our focus to the offense, because ultimately, for the series as a whole, that's where the Rockets have underachieved. They were bad defensively Saturday night, but ultimately, the first two games, they were good, and in Game 2, they're actually great on that end. If you want to look at things on a macro level rather than a micro, it's the offense that you can point to. And there's some factors, you know, Harden in Game 2, Chris Paul in Game 1, that were just randomness, missing some shots. But ultimately, we're through three games now. I think the microscope has to be shined on Eric Gordon. I've mentioned it a couple of times tonight, but to me, he is by far your biggest underachiever, still below 30% shooting for the series. He averaged 8 points the first two games, actually had 15 tonight, but he got 15 points because he shot 16 times, including 9 from 3. Just does not seem to be in rhythm, getting some good shots, ultimately not going in. And in this series, it's especially apparent, because say what you will about Minnesota, I understand they don't take a lot of threes, I understand their defensive limitations, but just look mano on mano at the guys that are generally on the court, especially in winning time in the fourth quarter. Minnesota has several players, Jimmy Butler, Karl Anthony Towns, Jeff Teague, even Andrew Wiggins. I know he's been hit or miss, but there's a reason he was talented enough to be the number one overall pick in the draft, had 20 points in Game 3. Those are four extremely talented players, and pretty much all of them were clicking in Game 3. The flip side, the Rockets, you've got Chris Paul and James Harden. They're obviously great, although Chris Paul fouled out in his 30 minutes tonight, as we mentioned. After those two, there's not a whole lot else in terms of shot creators if Eric Gordon is not producing. Trevor Ariza, PJ Tucker, they're good defensively, but offensively they're certainly not creators. Their value is in terms of spacing the floor, hitting the occasional three, and tonight they were just 2 of 9 combined. Ryan Anderson, fortunately, he made 4 of 6 in his healthy return after coming off the ankle injury, but he's certainly not a guy who's going to create his own shot. Nene and Clint Capella on the low block, quality players, but they're certainly not guys you're just going to dump it down to on the low block, especially against Karl Anthony Towns, and say, okay, one-on-one, you're just going to go to work, dump it down, and they're going to create their own offense in the low post. It doesn't work that way. Minnesota has at least 3, and arguably 4, if Andrew Wiggins can take it off the dribble the way he did at times tonight, that can create and make things happen. If Eric Gordon is not playing well, the Rockets have 2. Gerald Green in Game 2 was very good, and he started Game 3 well, but ultimately Gerald Green was a team worst, minus 18 in his 21 minutes. His defense was not good, and offensively he had a couple of early shots, but then he seemed to cool off dramatically as the game moved along. But ultimately, if you're depending on Gerald Green, I love the guy, but if you're depending on him to be your number 3 scoring option, you're probably going to run into some problems. The bottom line in this series is that if Eric Gordon cannot be counted on, and you can say it's a concern because over the course of his season, we have seen Eric Gordon have wild swings in which for anywhere from 5 to 15 games, he's very efficient. And from the next 5 to 15 games, he might not be. And right now, he seems to be in a downturn. Now, the good news, as I said in my preview show with Karthik Prasad on Friday, I don't think it's injury related. I certainly don't think it's fatigue related. He seems to be moving well, and I definitely don't buy fatigue because he has some rest games during the stretch of the year. And each game in this series has had a couple of games off before it. So because there's no physical reason, in theory, he could snap out of it at any time. But if he doesn't, as great as Chris Paul and James Harden are, they're 2 players. That's it. The Rockets' offense, as great as those 2 guys are, it can get a little predictable if those are the only 2 guys that you can turn to. That is where, and it's going to be especially the case, the later in the playoffs you go, certainly Oklahoma City and Utah, and then especially the Warriors, assuming they get to the Western Conference Finals, and if the Rockets do, and it's hypothetical, you're going to need more diversity to your attack. That's where Eric Gordon comes in. And it's not that he has to be dominant all the time, but we're three games into a playoff series now, and he's shooting below 30% from the field. That's just not good enough. It's poor. And offensively, sure, you're missing some open shots. I think you've seen at times this series, James Harden, Chris Paul being a little too careless with the ball. But overall, it's not like the Rockets were especially turnover prone on Saturday. They had just 10. Chris Paul only had one. James Harden, there were a couple in the fourth quarter I didn't like, but overall he had just 4. It's not like that was some backbreaking number like, you know, the 12 everyone points to back in 2015 Game 5 against the Warriors. And it's not like the three-point shooting for the Rockets tonight was that bad. 15 to 41, almost 37%. It's not great, but you can live with that. That's fine. Overall, the Rockets' offense, it wasn't like they turned it over too much. It wasn't like they just couldn't buy a three. The Rockets' offense, 105 points, it wasn't good enough because they just didn't have enough playmakers. It really was that simple. It wasn't like you did something unsustainably low, and that's the troubling thing. You know, you can point to game one when they struggled offensively. That's why I don't necessarily believe in taking any game out of context, because each game is dependent on its own factors. Game one, outside of James Harden, they shot 3 of 25 from 3. Look, that was completely unsustainable, and I said it at the time, and that's why game two, when they won going away, it was pretty easy to see it coming, because even though Harden had a bad game, so many of the guys that were unsustainably bad in game one bounced back, and ultimately things were okay. What happened game three is a little more concerning to me, because Capella, especially if he's not making his free throws, on the road with Karl-Anthony Towns playing more energized, maybe getting a more favorable whistle, it's not really unfathomable to see Clint struggle the way he did, relatively, against 7 points, 11 rebounds, not terrible, but certainly not the difference maker he was the first two games of this series. And then Trevor Ariza, PJ Tucker, you guys know who they are. And against a Minnesota team that, as I said, it's not like a typical 8 seed. They're a lot more talented than certainly the 7 seed in San Antonio, who Golden State has a chance to sweep tomorrow. So unfortunately, that's the luck of the draw for the Rockets. They've just got to try and make the best of it. But right now, this was a game in which I won't say that James Harden and Chris Paul brought their A games, but combined, James and Chris combined for 46 points, 13 assists, on 16 of 32 shooting. That's 50% combined from the field for those two guys. 46 points, 13 assists, 5 turnovers. That's not where you lost the game. You lost the game because of your supporting cast, in part because of the drop-off Capella to Towns and also ascension from Towns, home versus road. But in general, the Timberwolves just had more playmakers than you do. And partially that's because, again, just extenuating circumstances, the Timberwolves are more talented than a typical number 8 seed. But as far as the Rockets, what makes them dangerous on top of the system, everything else, it's that on top of James Harden and Chris Paul, you've got two guys in Clint Capella and Eric Gordon who can play at an all-star level, and neither of them Saturday night was even close. Clint, I think he's young, and also you can give some credit to Karl-Anthony Towns. I'm a little more understanding of that. Clint needs to be better, and ultimately, because Clint's been good, very good actually, in two of the three games, I tend to treat it as a one-off. Eric, I'm a little more concerned because we're three games in now. He's below 30%. His best game of the series was game three, in which he went 5 of 16 for 15 points. And on the perimeter, especially if they're giving some problems for James and Chris, he's your best hope to unlock. And ultimately, if Eric Gordon doesn't show up, the talent gap between the Rockets and Wolves is really not that big. Now, the math gap can be, and hopefully if the Timberwolves don't make their threes at a ridiculous clip again, maybe that catches up with them in Game 4 and Game 5. But ultimately, for the Rockets to be talent-wise with Minnesota, they need Eric Gordon, and he has not been there this series. Now, the upside is that, as I said, unless it's physical-related, he can sap out of it at any moment. And I don't believe it's physical-related. He seems to be moving well. There's no reason for him to be fatigued. He got some rest games down the stretch of the season as well. So hopefully he comes out Game 4, makes his shots, and looks like the Eric Gordon that we've seen at times this year that has been all-star level. The flip side is that there have been stretches this year that have lasted as long as 15 games or so, in which he's shot in the 30s in terms of his percentage, which has actually been an upgrade over what he shot in this series. But ultimately, it's a concern. And so I think when it comes to unlocking the offense, Game 1 and Game 2, Chris Paul and James Harden had games in which they were unsustainably bad, and so you kind of roll your eyes, that'll fix itself. But at this point, what went wrong in Game 3, and it's kind of been there in the back of everyone's mind this entire series, Eric Gordon has to be better. Until he is, the Rockets, they can be a good offensive team, but I don't think that could be a great one. And then if you combine that with a Minnesota team that has a lot of star talent and happens to be making their threes, then they can beat the Rockets. They did on Saturday, convincingly, by 16 points, and it's not unfathomable that they could do it again. Ultimately, the Rockets need to be better defensively, but I think even if the thing to remember is that even if the Rockets bring, say, maybe an A-plus defensive game wins this game no matter what, but even if they bring, say, a pretty good intensity, let's say a B-plus game defensively or A-minus, something like that, okay, then maybe instead of losing by 16, you can say that it's anybody's game going down the stretch. But to go from losing by 16 to winning by, you know, a comfortable margin, let's say at least 8 to 10 points like you would like to do if you're the one seed having won 65 games, that's not just play harder defensively. It's play harder defensively combined with better execution offensively. And when you look at this game, it's tough to see, especially in the box score, where there was that much in terms of went wrong other than Eric Gordon. For the Rockets to get where they need to be to truly be the 65-win juggernaut they have been this year, they need Eric Gordon, if not to get to where he was over the balance of the regular season, at least be better than the guy who's shooting below 30% this series. There's lots of things you can quibble about, but ultimately, when it comes to fixing the offense, I think it starts with fixing Eric Gordon. The good news, it doesn't seem to be affecting him mentally. He shot 16 times, so you know you don't want to see him get tentative and stop shooting, because that's certainly not going to affect the solve the problem. But ultimately, to rectify it, to fix it, well, he's got to keep shooting, but some of those have to go in. And I think as far as the Rockets in Game 4 try and see what's going better for them offensively, I think that's the variable to keep a close eye on. If Eric Gordon starts making shots at a higher clip, to me, that's what you need to really feel like the Rockets are where they're at when they're humming at a pace offensively that has them among the best teams in the history of the league when you look at the balance of the 82-game slate. Anyway, I think we can wrap things there because, well, it's probably been a little bit of a depressing show. Apologies for that, but when your team loses 121-105 as a one seed in the playoffs, it's not very fun. It is what it is. I just remind you of the context. Again, it's not unprecedented, far from it, from a one seed to lose in the first round. And ultimately, the Timberwolves are a much better team than a typical eight. Keep those things in mind. But aside from that, I get it. The Rockets were not good tonight on either end of the court, and they've got to be much better to win this series and certainly to beat teams like Oklahoma City, Utah, and especially Golden State in the rounds ahead. Hopefully the Rockets take it as a learning experience. We'll see what happens when they take the court again tomorrow night, Monday night, that is, in Minnesota with a chance to go up 3-1 in this first-round series. Until then, I will wrap it. As always, if you want more content from me, the best place to get it is Twitter. I am on Twitter at Ben Dubose. BENDUBOSC. The show is on Twitter at Locked On Rockets. We've also got a Facebook page, facebook.com/LockedOnRockets, a website, LockedOnRockets.com. We've also got an email address, LockedOnRockets@gmail.com. If you have questions about the team, suggestions for the show, advertising inquiries, anything we can do to make this a better program, we would absolutely love to hear from you. Also, don't forget about our great network, the Locked On Podcast Network. Got teams covered all across the NBA and the NFL. That means all of the other 15 teams, well, shouldn't say 15, 14 teams. Portland was eliminated today. But all the other teams in the playoffs, you want to hear the Timberwolves side of things, you can listen to Colton Molesky, his Locked On Timberwolves show, although you might not want to after Game 3, because if you're a Rockets fan, that may not be a very fun listen. But the point is, NBA, NFL, even some MLB, you want more content, Locked On Podcast Network has so many great shows, and I strongly encourage you to listen to those. iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Megaphone, wherever you subscribe to your podcast, wherever you'd like to listen to Locked On Rockets, you can find any of those other great shows as well. Once again, the very unhappy final from Target Center in Minneapolis. Timberwolves 121, Rockets 105. Rockets lead in the best of seven series is now down to 2-1. Game 4 is on Monday night at Target Center. Look forward to talking with you guys after that one. Until then, folks, enjoy the rest of your weekend, and thanks again for listening here at Locked On Rockets, the only daily podcast covering the NBA's best basketball team.